Great. Thanks a lot, Amy. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for taking time out of your evening to attend this class about facing the summer slump with your social media. I'm Tracy with Pink Pigeon Media, and I work with people just like you to help you manage your social pages like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and, well, any social page that you use. Social media, as you know, is where it's at these days when it comes to communicating to the masses. So keeping pages alive and active is key to success when you're using platforms like Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing. So I'm covering the summer slump for obvious reasons. Summertime can be a slow time for lots of businesses. It's not all, of course. Some count on the summer for the bulk of their business, like if you sell pool floaties for a living, for instance, and the words summer and slump don't really go together for you. But for some coaches, it's not unusual to experience a bit of a slump as your clients are off floating on their floaties in a pool somewhere, or maybe just slowing down a bit for the typical summer of activities and vacations. So summer slump certainly does apply to many a coach. That doesn't mean that your social pages can sit there and marinate during these months, though. They need to keep active with good information that can be crawled by the search engine spiders or for when people come back to their, you know, regular routine on their computers. Your pages need to be alive and thriving. It's also, you know, during the summer, it's a good time to take advantage of this, what might be a slow time, to get your social media plan in place for the remainder of the year. We're going to talk in detail about that in just a minute. One very practical and helpful task to tackle during the summer is to plan out a social media calendar to act as a roadmap. Now, I'm coming at this tonight just assuming that those on the call already have or are considering having social pages for their business like Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or a combination of those and perhaps a blog. So with that idea in mind, taking some time this summer to plan out your social media calendar can really get you ahead of the game, and I've got a very practical example of that you may have seen in your PDF that we'll get to. For the sake of tonight, let's just use relationship coaching as an example, but this is really, what we're about to talk about is applicable no matter where your expertise lies or no matter where your niche lies. It doesn't matter at all. This is still absolutely applicable and very practical and doable. And I want to interject this. Please feel free to interrupt with a question if you would like. I will take a break after each one of these sections of questions, though. So if you want to jot them down as we go along and then ask them when I give you a shot at doing that, that would be great, and I'll do my best to answer. Here we are at the end of June, so we're just going to talk about as if we're going to make a plan for July as an example today of what I'm talking about planning your social media. Working these things out in advance can really take a load off as the weeks progress in any given month. So the very first thought at the beginning of every month for me when I'm creating a calendar is I like to project ahead and think about the things I know that I want to touch on on my social pages. And this really revolves around a blog. Now, this you do not have to blog for this to work, but the calendar and schedule of events that I'm about to propose. But I would say that if you don't blog, it's probably something you need to seriously consider. It really gives you something to work with on social pages. If you're like, for instance, a relationship coach and you want to post on your pages inspiring, thoughtful, or thought-provoking posts, which of course you do on your Facebook page or Twitter page or on your blog, you're going to want to plan those things a little bit in advance and have something in your mind, and the calendar that we're going to do is going to help you to do that. This helps you, rather than posting willy-nilly as things come to your mind, this gives you a little bit of a plan of attack to think about how to maneuver forward. Just one moment, please. Sorry about the interruption. My dog picked up this chew toy, and it has a squeaky thing in the middle of it, and it was very distracting. He was just playing in the corner, and I had no idea he was going to go after that. So sorry about that. In your PDF is an example of what I'm talking about in planning our specific posts with things in mind. So let's think about for just a minute. If you are a relationship coach, you may want to block out, I don't know, say the first 2 weeks of July to focus on being kind to yourself or your self-image. And maybe on the second 2 weeks, maybe you'd want to focus on dating and think that out in advance. And this part is just projecting your basic topics for what you want to do. And let's just say we've decided that. First 2 weeks in July, we're going to talk self-image. Second 2 weeks, we're going to talk about dating because we're a relationship coach. So take a look at the second page of your PDF. I want to show you a literal example of what I do every month for my clients. I create a calendar using a calendar out of Word, like exactly what you see in front of you. And after talking with a client about what their topics will be, we focus a lot on the blog because I do encourage my clients to blog. And I ask them, what are your topics going to be for each specific blog day? And we've picked out which days we're going to post what. So what I've done on this particular calendar is I've posted, you'll notice at the very top we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I give us a break on the weekends because everybody needs a breather. You can do that however you want, of course, but that just works out well for my clients. We pick Thursday in many cases as a blog day, and for the purposes of this example, Thursday is blog day. But you'll notice Monday is meme day. Those nice pics that you see with inspirational things on them are memes. I create those myself, and I'm going to tell you how I do that in a minute. They're very popular on social media, and they get shared often, so this is a tip worth knowing about, and I've mentioned it in other classes, so you may have heard this before from me. Tuesday is a question day, and this is in the hopes of prompting engagement. I try to make the question lead toward the blog post that I'm going to be publishing later in the week, and so like I said, if you blog, and I think you should, the strategy works well for that. Wednesday is quote day. It's a quote, again, that leads into your theme for the week or what your blog post is going to be for the week. And in this case, Thursday, I'm going to post my blog. And then Friday, I issue a challenge related to the message of my blog. Okay, so let's take a little closer look at this calendar. Monday, like I said, I have a meme. So if you can't see these on page two, but if you'll go to page three, I've posted them so that you can see a little better what I've done and what these actually say, just to give you an idea. The one I have for Monday is the "You're Worth It" and so forth. You can see I've got the little blue one and then the purple one. And we can toggle back and forth between the calendar and those memes if you wish to, just to see what we're talking about. I create these memes because they tend to get shared a good bit. And I usually use a quote by somebody that's recognizable, whether it's in a niche or just like we know this person in our nation very well. I like to make them visually appealing but very, very simple. As you can see, these examples reflect that. And I like to use this real estate wisely. So take a closer look at the larger version of these tiny little pictures on the page right after the calendar to see what I'm talking about. You can just look at the first one, for example, with the tree that says you are worth it. It's a good, quick, positive message, and it fits in with my self-image theme that I have for this week. But note at the bottom, I have subtly included, for our example, yourwebsite.com. And, of course, I mean for you to insert your web address right here. If I was doing this for my business, it would be pinkpigeonmedia.com. It's really no longer necessary to include the www. That's become a given in the Internet world. You can put it if you want. It's not necessary. I like to keep things very clean so that people can glance at this and just read it without even having to work at it, but you don't want them to work at trying to figure out what you're saying. Note on the blue meme that says the quality of your life is found in the quality of your relationship. I added the Twitter handle for that. So if you tweet, you can use your Twitter handle instead or along with your web address. In fact, I mean, I think you get the point from this. You can use that little bit of real estate to do a tiny bit of advertising for yourself. And the cool thing about creating this little thing, think of it as a little ad because that's what it is. It doesn't cost you a dime to do that. It's a super cost-effective way to just remind people where your website is, what your Twitter handle is by creating a pretty meme, hopefully that will get shared. Now, on the next page, I've included a website. It's the go-to website for making things like these little memes. It's called canva.com. You'll see it on that third or fourth page after these memes. You can visit that later to get a feel for how to use it. I've mentioned it in other classes. It's really fun. It's really easy to use. And it is by far the absolute best source I've found for making little pictures like this. And the reason is because Canva does all the sizing for you. If you've ever tried to post to Facebook before, sometimes pictures don't always fit properly. Things get cut off or can look a little bit wonky because your sizing is off, and you can drive yourself crazy tearing your hair out trying to get the right size to post to Facebook. Well, Canva has done all that for you. You just simply click on the social media button, and it gives you options for pictures and backgrounds that you can use and a lot of different typefaces. If you play around with it for just 30 minutes, playing around with it, and you'll know exactly how to work it and how to use it. And it's truly the absolute best tool that I've used. And I've tried a whole lot of other stuff online. This one is the best. So canva.com, it's in there in your PDF, and I encourage you to try and play with that to make some of these memes for your site. So moving on to Tuesday, back to the calendar, if you feel like you want to toggle back up there, Tuesdays are question days. Now, you can structure this, of course, in any way that you want. I'm not the calendar police. I mean, I've found what works well for me, but you might find something that works better for you as far as what days to post, what types of things. But I like this structure because it has a point and a purpose it's working toward, which is I'm taking people with each and every one of these posts closer and closer to my blog post on Thursday and then giving them a challenge on Friday that reflects what I wrote in my blog post. That's the reason that I do this way. It's not like it's right. It's just one way to do it. And you'll notice that these posts that I have that I did just for the purpose of this example, each one leads you up towards the topic of my blog. Like we on the 7th, we all talk to ourselves inwardly, are you kind with your words? On the 8th, is a good quote by Dennis Waitley, relentless repetitive self-talk is what changes our self-image. And then my blog topic on the 9th is self-talk, what are you telling yourself? And that's my blog topic. Now, I also want you to notice on Thursday that I have, well, wait, before I do that, I want to finish going through. I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's too easy to do that. Back to on Tuesdays, posting questions in the hope of prompting a back-and-forth discussion. You know, it's really wise to really think about the questions that you're posing. It's wise because if people do begin a conversation on your page, you certainly want it to be appropriate and on topic. You can't control what everybody does, mind you, but you can control the launching point, which is your question. I will point out, though, that often the more provocative the question, I don't mean that sexually, I just mean a provoking question, the more engagement that you get. I mean, sometimes a tiny bit of controversy is not a bad thing at all. You just want to make sure that if you choose to take on perhaps a topic that's a hot topic, that you monitor that page closely for responses as they come along. While I don't necessarily recommend deleting an inappropriate comment, because sometimes that can cause more trouble than it's worth, it does give you an opportunity to respond in an appropriate way, bring a conversation back into where it needs to be. I personally do not like to discount controversy. It can really be good for your page, just so long as you're controlling your question and monitoring the page. But in any case, the point here is to post questions that you think will respond, will solicit a response, some sort of comment that your readers will just jump in and start communicating either with you or with one another. So that's the point of that. Wednesday is quote day, hopefully related to and leading up to your blog post, again, in keeping with your theme. Now, if you're not blogging, it's fine. You can still have a theme, and you can still be leading people along through the week with certain thoughts that may lead up to a challenge on Friday. So just because you don't blog, this is still a terrific strategy for a good, well-rounded editorial calendar. People really like quotes, and they tend to share them. So I found them to be pretty effective and will often be one of the most shared things on our pages will be quotes, and that's why I do include them. Thursday is blog day. I typically post a teaser line and a link that takes them to the blog once I've posted it. And note that in this example calendar, I added a second post on Thursday that plugged my coaching practice and an ebook. I'm pretending I wrote an ebook. Things like my relationship coaching practice is based on compassion towards self and others on the 9th. And then I would add a link perhaps to my contact page on my website. On the 16th, I wrote, wondering if relationship coaching is for you, contact me for a free consultation. And you might want to add the link to your contact page. It's those sort of things that you can scatter. I placed them all on Thursday, but you can scatter them throughout your pages, just bringing people back to your website over and over again to gain traffic and traction for your website. The posts that you want to have are just a wide variety of things. Like I said, we're leading people towards the blog, but you also want to plug the other things that you have to offer. So if it's an ebook, or maybe it's a webinar or a seminar, or maybe you have a speaking engagement coming up, you're going to want to sprinkle those into this calendar accordingly, especially for things like a speaking engagement. You're leading up to that. So give people plenty of time and plenty of posts to think about it. You know, very few people make a purchase straight out of the box. You have to hit them over and over with your message. So if you're speaking on, for instance, July 23rd, you might want to start posting little posts about that starting on the 1st and put, you know, one or two a week up all the way to the 23rd, encouraging them to visit your website for more information or contact you for more information or direct them to a registration page for the engagement if they have to sign up. So you sprinkle those in and around all these other inspirational messages that you see in this calendar here. So those on Thursday are just one example of a way that you can do plugs for your other things that you offer, like ebooks or speaking engagements or whatever it is that you have. And like I said, on Friday is challenge day, and the more practical you make this challenge, the better. I had one client who really encouraged journaling, and so she would often post specific things like, journal today your thoughts on blank, or journal today your thoughts on my last blog post, here it is, that sort of thing. Gives people something very specific to do, an action point, if you will. So Friday could be challenge day. In a second, I'm going to dig into practical help for managing these posts. But first, are there any questions about the way this calendar is structured? Does this make sense? If you are working with a blog or if you're working with Facebook, have you worked a sort of calendar like this yourself? And do you have things that work for you or things that have you stumped? Take a minute here and think about it and ask me what your questions are. And if I have an answer, I'll be happy to share while I take a breath and a drink. All right, no questions about the calendar.
This is Inez, and I do have a question.
Go ahead.
The question and the quotes and the challenges, do you just put them up as words, or do you attach photos to it or pictures or something?
You know, any time you can add something visual, that's always a really smart thing to do. I often do just words, like on Facebook and especially on Twitter. Twitter's not quite as visual thing. It is visual, but not quite as visual. You can get away with just straight up posts with the words on Twitter much more easily. But adding things visually is always a smart thing to do because we're all the same in that regard. We like to look at pretty pictures or challenging pictures. So when you can, I would encourage you to do so. I think it's a great idea. That's one reason why I included these memes, because memes do very well. People like to look at the pretty colors, and they like to be inspired, and they like to share. So, but it's not like it's wrong to just post words. I mean, I do it both ways. So in answer to your question, do it when you can and when you can find something good. And it's a picture that you're free to use legally. I have a whole bevy of things in my, because I'm also a photographer, so I have a whole bunch of photos I can use of my own. But you do have to be careful about snagging photos off the web, because sometimes they actually belong to someone. They're not always just free to use. But anytime you can include a visual, I would encourage you to do so. People like that sort of thing. That was a great question. Thank you for asking that. Are there other questions about this calendar? Anything stand out? I can imagine that in looking at this, there might be a little bit of overwhelm. And social media does that to people. I'm just going to say straight up, it does that even to the gurus. And for people, I don't consider myself a guru at all, but I'm up to my eyeballs in this every day. And I'm at times overwhelmed because there's so much and it's coming at you so fast. And every platform works a little bit differently. So I want to talk about managing all of this so that the overwhelm can take a little bit of a rest on you for a minute, because there are tools, ways to manage this that will take some of that away. So when you create a calendar like this and you create a pathway for yourself like this, and then you're sitting here looking at your calendar and now you've got to implement it and watch it, going to your social pages every single day to make posts is really not practical for pretty much everybody in all likelihood on this call. You can't spend a lot of time toggling back and forth between your Facebook page and your Twitter page and your LinkedIn or your blog page or whatever platforms you're using, because you're a coach, and many of us are also employed doing other things while we're coaching. So there's a very busy life and there's family and everything else. So the best way I found for managing this much stuff, once you've written it, is to schedule it in advance to post for you. And that way you can spend like an hour putting it all together and scheduling it through a tool I'm about to tell you about. And then for the rest of the month, you can just monitor your pages for responses and shares and that sort of stuff. That way, rather than logging in every day and posting something every day, it's posting for you because you set it up in advance. And there are lots of tools for this, but there's one that I've been using now for a couple of years. I'm not saying that it's, you know, the best or the only one to use. I'm saying it's the one that I've used, and I like it, and I find it easy to use. And it's called Hootsuite. And that is found, I've given you the Hootsuite website address, let's see, right after the Canva on page 5, hootsuite.com. is what I'm talking about. And it's a pretty simple platform to use. There's a paid version and there's a free version. And I've used both. Extensively I've used both. And I came back to the free version because I found that it did for me everything that I needed it to do. And I was paying for bells and whistles I found that I did not really use. So my suggestion would be, if you're new to this, just start with the free version. If later on you think some things are missing and there's some holes that you wish to fill, you could explore it a little further to see if the paid version does that for you. But the free version certainly works for my purposes, and in all likelihood it will work for yours as well. I'm not going to take the time right now to show you exactly how Hootsuite works, because frankly they have tutorials for you that would do a little better job, because you can play with it at the same time that the tutorial is showing you what to do, and you can't really do that on this phone call. But I don't want that to scare you. Sometimes the idea when someone says there's tutorials, people think, oh, my gosh, now I've got to sit through yet another online something-something. But this is actually very quick. I figured out how to use Hootsuite myself without the tutorials in 20 minutes. So this was back in the day. So I'm thinking that with the tutorials, you could probably pop through that thing really quick and be using Hootsuite in no time. Now, this is what happens with Hootsuite, is that it allows you to input your credentials to whichever platform you're using, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn. It doesn't matter. It can handle all of those. And then it creates a stream for you so that you can see the posts that you are scheduling. You can also elect to see posts that you've already posted, your live news stream. You can read it right there on the Hootsuite dashboard. It just depends on what you want to see. You click a button and it shows you whichever streams you want to see. So you kind of create it yourself that way. And all that you have to do is go to the calendar that you just created, like the example one that I have in this PDF. You copy and paste the post. You put it in the Hootsuite calendar, you click the day and the time that you want it to post, and you hit schedule, and you walk away. And what I do is I take my calendar, and I just plan this at the beginning of every month. I just take the calendar that I created, and I sit down on Hootsuite, and I take a half an hour to go in and plug in all of my posts and select all my dates and select all my times. And then the rest of the month, I'm monitoring my Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn pages. And Hootsuite posts at the appointed time that I told it to. So I'm not going back in and posting over and over and over again every single day of the week. Hootsuite's doing that for me. So that way, you know, you spend a little bit of time up front at the beginning, get it all plugged into Hootsuite really quick. It's a cut and paste. And then the rest of the month, you're just monitoring. So it saves you a whole lot of time, and it saves you every day doing this thing manually. And, yes, you can post pictures. There's a way to do that in Hootsuite, very, very simple. You just like you've seen those attachments on your email. It's a little paperclip. So if you want to add pictures to it, you can. Easy to do. And you can see your LinkedIn, Twitter, your Facebook all on the same dashboard, so you don't even have to toggle back and forth. It's all right in front of you. So if you have one post that you want to post to all of your platforms, you can do it right there on a Hootsuite dashboard. And it's a sweet deal when you can do it for free, and I always love that sort of stuff. So that's how I manage mine, and that's how I keep it manageable so that I don't tear my hair out every single day of the week trying to log in and log out. Summer is a great time to plan your social media calendar as far out in advance as you can. It's like any editorial calendar, I suggest taking it in 3 months blocks if you can. In fact, it's not too terribly difficult because I've put this to the test and done this myself. I've been able to schedule out and schedule out my blog topics and the posts that I want to support those blog topics for as much as 3 months at a time just by taking one afternoon. So like about 3, 4, 5 hours worth of work all at once to have it all done for the next 3 months. And then you can go in and schedule those on Hootsuite, take another hour to do that, and you're good for 3 months' time. That way all you're left to do is monitor things. This is also a good way to get your blog set up in advance so that you don't have to necessarily do it at crunch time when, you know, you feel like your blog is due and you want to post it this week. Well, if you sit down and set aside the time the way I'm suggesting, you don't have crunch time anymore. You've taken care of crunch time. So that's how I manage it. Hootsuite is a wonderful tool, and I have used it now for a couple of years. Are there any questions about this portion, about Hootsuite? I realize I'm not showing it to you, but I hope you are understanding its purpose. Are there any questions about that I could help clear up?
I have a question about Hootsuite. I'm trying to connect my Facebook and Twitter pages and Google Plus pages as you're walking through it.
Uh-huh.
and it wants to grab my personal Facebook page rather than my business page. I realize it's a question that's kind of in the reads, but if you have any thoughts on that, that would be helpful.
Have you ever used Hootsuite before? Is this your first time logging into it?
I might have used it like 5 years ago, but I don't even remember anymore.
Oh, okay. The way that I'm logging into it right now, the way that I recall this, I have to put in my business address that's associated with my Facebook page at the beginning of the Hootsuite login. But there's also another way when you add a Facebook page from within Hootsuite. On the left-hand side, there is a it's your control panel is on the left-hand side, and you can add pages from there. And when you click on that button, there should be it actually, because you're already associated with Facebook through your personal page, I would think your business page would show up there, but you may have to input that. And it gives you an option to do that. When you click that button, it asks you, and then it gives you the place to input that. And you may have to do a little bit of exploring to find that place. But I have all of my Facebook pages that I manage are in Hootsuite, and I also have a personal page, so I know what you're talking about. Hootsuite has a place for you to input that information. Explore it on the left-hand side under the add. I think it's add a social. Can't remember how they phrase it. Add a social network or add a social page.
Okay.
And that's really not terribly helpful until I think you poke around and start clicking on some buttons and find it. But yes, it is doable. That's probably the part you need to know more than anything. Yes, it's doable. You don't have to have your personal. You can have your business page on it.
Okay, great. Good. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions about Hootsuite or anything up to this point? All right. And here's another, this is a good strategy for summer, but it's not really so much for implementing right now. It's really more for planning in advance during the summertime when things might be a little bit slower for you. Some of you are laughing at me because it's not slower at all for you, but in case it is, now is a really great time to hit up people for guest blogging for you, either, you know, for now or in the fall. And one of the reasons why it's good is because a lot of people that you might hit up are also taking a little bit of a break during the summer, and if you ask them to do something in the fall or in the winter, they'll say, oh, heck yeah, because, you know, in their minds, they've got months and months to play around with this until they actually have to do it. So it's a good time to get people to make that commitment to you. And look, guest blogging, if you have a blog and you get a guest blogger, there are several reasons why this really rocks and should probably just become a part of your regular strategy, whether it's summertime or not. One reason is it relieves you of a few blog posts. And if you're a blogger, you probably can relate to coming up against that brick wall and feeling like you may not have anything left to say. You may have forgotten some areas of expertise that you're so used to that you've forgotten that you could be writing about it. So you're just tearing your hair out, wanting to have a break maybe. And a guest blogger can bring you that little bit of relief that actually is good for them because it gives them a whole new readership. And it's good for you because it gives you a break. It's good for your readers because it gives them something new to look at. So lots of good reasons to do that. Another one is you can potentially gain your guest bloggers, fans, and followers by doing this. If you're asking someone who already blogs and has a whole following, they're going to tell all of their people that they're guest blogging for you over here on your blog, and you can potentially gain those followers. This could really be a very good thing for you. And I just touched on one of the better parts. Your guest blogger is going to do the bulk of the advertising for you just by telling their friends and their followers to check out the blog posts that they've done for you. Free advertising is a really great thing, and if they've got a lot of fans and followers, that's terrific for you. And the other thing is you get the traffic on your blog page, which is good for search engine spiders, good for SEO, search engine optimization. And the groovy thing here is that you didn't even do the work. A guest blogger did it. It's a win-win all the way around. While you didn't do the work and your guest blogger did, it's not a burden for them because they benefit greatly by guest blogging for you too. So lots of reasons to do this, lots of reasons to do it on a regular basis and make it part of your strategy. But now during the summer is really an ideal time to line those people up. Pick a specific date that you need their article by. Give them specific parameters. The more specific you can be, I'm not saying, you know, you don't want to communicate that you're picky, but the more specific you can be about what you want from them and when you want it, the more easily they can expedite this post for you and give you exactly what you wanted so that there's no surprises. You know, we're all kind of like this. If somebody says, hey, would you write a blog post for me? Well, you may say yes, but if that's all they say to you, you want to know some stuff. You want to know, well, what do you want? What do your readers want? What's the best topic? What do you like pictures? They want to know this kind of stuff. So give them very specific things, and your guest blogger can fill in those blanks for you. They'll appreciate the parameters, and you just won't end up with any surprises. So that's my advice for that. Give them something specific and give them a specific date when the blog is due so that you can post it. Now, the last summer slump is a way to, I don't know if I should even say summer slump. It's just a great thing to do during the summer because people are, you know, playing around and love giveaways, and giveaways have a good summery feel. So if you have something you can give away, that's a really neat thing to do during the summer. You can give away an ebook if you've written one, or maybe a free seat to your next webinar, or a discounted session with you, whatever you wish. You know, let your mind go crazy here. But giveaways are truly good incentive. It's a way to get people to subscribe to your blog, for instance, or to like your Facebook page, or to take advantage of maybe a short session with you. I mean, maybe they don't know that they would benefit from coaching, and that would be a way for them to find that out. Whatever it is that you want to give away, if you want to do it on Facebook, just be sure that you double-check Facebook's rules for giveaways. They do have some specific rules, unlike Twitter, where you can just, you know, post to your heart's contented about your giveaways. Facebook has some rules. So all you have to do is Google Facebook rules for giveaways, and you'll find everything you need to know about what you can and cannot do when it comes to giveaways on Facebook. So I wanted to, having given you this, we've talked about creating an editorial calendar, how to manage that on Hootsuite, getting guest bloggers, and perhaps doing giveaways for the summer. There were a couple other questions that were sent to me in advance. One of them is, how do you ensure security around social media? What happens to your privacy when you join the social media throng? I want to say that privacy is a very scary thing on the Internet. And I don't even need to tell you because you already have experienced this. And I think in a lot of ways, privacy is kind of a done deal as it is. I'm getting some feedback, some crinkling and crackling. I'm wondering if we should mute ourselves, star six, just for a few minutes. I too, am very concerned about privacy, and we all really should be. And I am guarded about what I put on my pages. I keep business very business, and I encourage my clients to keep business very business. Sharing personal things is fine up to a point. I think that privacy is one of those things that you should guard it, but boy, it's getting more and more difficult. On Facebook, you've got a lot of privacy settings. If your personal page is visible to everybody, whether they're your friend or not, you need to change that. It needs to be visible only to your friends. So go into your Facebook settings and make those changes. Comb through your options and choose them to give you the amount of privacy that you feel like you want and feel like you need. You have the same options for your business page, although your business page is one of those pages where you want everyone to be able to see it. So certain things you keep wide open and certain things you don't. I guard my personal pages a lot more than the business page because I do keep the business page business only. It's what I do for my clients. I think that with things like Twitter, there's not a whole lot that you can breach there unless you post it yourself. You can hide your email. You've got settings on Twitter like you do anywhere else. You can hide your email contact information and that sort of thing. It is. I appreciate this question so much because it was asked by Terry. I don't know if you're on the call, but I appreciate the question so much because privacy is just a big problem for everybody right now. This is the one thing I would say that you've heard this before, but it can't be said enough. Everything that you post online is there forever. And if you think that going back and deleting things gets rid of things, it really doesn't. For people who are savvy, who know how to really dig deep into technology, they know how to find those things that you've deleted. So it's just important that you, this is another really good reason to map out a plan before you post things using this calendar strategy. It gives you time to craft things the way that you want them to be, change your mind if you want to, and, you know, keep a theme and keep yourself focused and on track for what you want to communicate on social media. And that's one reason why I love the calendar message. I mean, the calendar strategy. Excuse me. Jen has asked where to start when you're overwhelmed by it all. And this is the number one question I get absolutely all the time. And this is why I started the business that I started, because it is overwhelming. I manage pages for people just like you for this reason and help to keep those pages alive and active. There are other marketing things that need to be done. Social media is a slice of that pie. And what I do is I keep the social media pages active and moving and full of content, so that whatever other things that you do in your marketing, your social media pages are an enhancement to that. There's a whole lot of facets to marketing, as you well know, and social media just makes up a part of that. And so that's one reason why I'm in the business I'm in, because I know the overwhelm, and it gets to everybody. There's so many different options and things that you can use and platforms that you can use, and then how do you keep them going? I will say that if you really want to do it yourself, it can be done depending on your schedule, of course, and how you schedule your time and what you want to accomplish. Using the strategies even of the calendar that I showed you tonight, this isn't just a summer thing. I'm just suggesting getting ahead of the game during the summer. This is a year-round strategy that works very, very well and helps to keep the overwhelm at a minimum, because it keeps you focused and keeps you online. And Hootsuite does the same thing, keeps you from being overwhelmed because you can get it all done at one time. There are other social media tools that I really like that you'll find on my website, pinkpigeonmedia.com. If you go to my social media tools that we love page, I've got several things there, like Pinterest for business, and the ultimate social media planner, which is something for you do-it-yourselfers if you want to do it on your own. That is one really good tool that you could use to do that. And the only other thing I'd say is that when you need help, get help. It's an awful lot to handle at one time, and it's always changing. Just when you think you figured Facebook out, they change something on you. So it is overwhelming, but these are the tools that I found that work to help me keep things in control and not be overwhelmed. And the last thing I'll say on that, and then we'll open up for questions, is don't pick too many platforms to work with, because that's part of where the overwhelm is. If you have Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Google+ and Pinterest and Instagram and a blog page, that's 7 platforms. Well, of course, you're overwhelmed if you do that. Anybody would be. There's no way any of us can do all that ourselves. And you probably don't need that many platforms. So I do a good assessment, and I can help you with that. I can consult with you to figure out which platforms would be the best ones for you, given what your niche is. So contact me if you're interested in consulting with me, because if you're not sure which platforms would best suit you, we can talk that through and come up with the solution for you and make it all make sense. So All right, so at the very end of your PDF, and then we'll open up for questions, you will find contact information for me. You can consult with me at that web address. If you're banging your head against the wall trying to figure out what blog topics you need to write on, my ebook is absolutely the solution. By the time you read the very last page, after 20 minutes of reading, you will know exactly what to do to come up with more blog topics than you can shake a stick at. Absolutely, without any question, I know you will, and you'll just be thrilled to pieces with so much to write about, you won't know what to do with yourself. If you're looking to build a website, I would suggest InMotion Hosting. They're a terrific hosting company. I really stand behind them. And you could use my affiliate link for that. And like I said, I mentioned social media tools that you can find on my website. And I would love to hear from you and know what you gained from this session, if anything, or if I left some holes and you have questions. And if you do, we've got a few more minutes before the 8 o'clock hour. I would love to answer questions. I do talk fast. I know I talk fast, trying to get a whole lot of good information in here for you so that you walk away with some things that you can do on a practical level. So anybody with any questions on tonight's stuff or social media in general, shoot them out here and let me see.
I have a question.
All right, go for it.
What are your fees? What are your fee ranges to do social media for us?
There is a little bit of a variance depending on what you need to have done. Now, I will consult for a $100 an hour consultation fee. If you need social media management, I like to give a range because my top dollar is $400, but we can whittle that down depending on what you need. I say $400 with the idea in mind that I would, if you were having me manage Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, and post blogs to your blog page, that's $400 fee. However, you don't have to have that many platforms. So when we talk, we can whittle it down. If you don't want to use Google+, for instance, then that, you know, we bring the fee down. So the top that you would ever pay would be $400, just to give you an idea.
Is it a month, a week, an hour? What is it?
It's a monthly $400 fee for managing those platforms I just mentioned. If we were to, you know, take a few away, then we would adjust the price. But it's $400 per month for Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, and helping you with your blog page.
And that would be with me writing all of my stuff and you pretty much posting it?
Not exactly. That calendar that I showed you is part of what I do for my clients as I come up with posts. The only part from the client that I need is I need to know what your blog topic is going to be. If we are going to be writing around and to guide people towards your blog. If you're not a blogger, that's not relevant. If you're a blogger, I need your blog topic, and you'll need to write the blog article. And then I will take that and start distributing it all over your pages, and I will write posts that support that blog and bring your readers up to that blog, just like this example that I showed you. So I create that editorial calendar. That's part of my services. What you would have to do is write the blog post, and I would do all the rest.
And blog posting is an important thing to have to do.
Well, I want to say this. It's not a have to. I think that it's an important thing and a critical thing to keep your pages active and moving, to build trust, and to get people coming back to you for more as the expert. Now, blogging can be in a written form. It could be on little YouTube videos. You can make them as short as you want. You can make them as long as you want. They could be a paragraph. They could be 6 paragraphs. What's important here is that you bring quality information to your readers every time. Now, this is in part important for search engine optimization. If you have a website, which is where I would want your blog to live, if it were up to me, I'd like you to have a blog tab on your website. Your website, most people's websites, sit pre-stagnant. You put them together, they look beautiful, they've got your information, and they sit there. Well, this isn't the greatest thing for search engine optimization because spiders crawl it and they get those keywords, but it really excites the search engine spiders when something new comes along. Most websites don't introduce new stuff that often unless you're rotating products in and out. In coaches' cases, that's usually not what's happening. A blog page can solve that because you're continually feeding these search engine spiders, which in turn get excited about you because you're new and fresh all the time, and then it returns good search engine results when people go to try to find you online by typing in certain keywords. They may not know you by name to look for you that way, but they may know that they want to talk about dating, or they may want to talk about divorce, and they'll put those keywords in when they're searching. And if you've written a bunch of blog topics on these things, you have a better chance of being found among the sea of others who are also writing this. So that's one reason why blogging is important. It keeps your website fresh. It gives search engine spiders fresh stuff.
And you can write blogs for us or not?
No, I do not write blogs. My background is writing. I was a magazine editor for several years, and I'm also a writer. So it's not that I can't, and it's not that I won't help. But I do appreciate the voice of my client in their blog posts, and readers tend to appreciate that as well. So I provide editing and proofreading to what you give me. So if you write an article and it doesn't have to be picture perfect because I'll go in and shine it up a little bit if you need that. But yes, I need the client to provide the blog article itself, and then I take that as a tool and run with it on your pages,
okay,
on your social pages.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? And you can take a look at on my website. If you click under our services, there's a drop-down menu. It's pinkpigeonmedia.com, which is on the PDF in case you need help with that link. If you go to our services from the drop-down menu, you'll see social media management. I've got a good description there of my services in detail with bulleted points so you can see exactly what I'm talking about doing, because there's even more than I've described here that I'll do on a monthly basis. So that's at pinkpigeonmedia.com. All right. Any other questions? Well, if not, I have truly enjoyed this. I'm appreciative that you were here, and I would love to hear from you. If a question pops up later in your mind, all you have to do is email me or go to my website and use the contact form. You can email me at the address at the very end of the PDF that you have, tj@pinkpigeonmedia.com. I'm happy to answer your questions if I've left a hole somewhere and you need it filled in. Or if you need some consultation, just shoot me an email and we can schedule a time and I will do my darndest to help you get on your way using social media.
Thank you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Tracy. That was great.
Thanks.